Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I actually don't mind Monday night games in the NFL as much as Sunday night games. You know, they say you'll be waiting all day for Sunday night. At least on Monday night, when your team is playing on Monday night, like the Commanders are tomorrow night, you kind of have your slate clear on Sunday. It's the Sunday nighters that, to me, are the toughest to wait for. For many Commander fans, obviously, you're saying, well, just hope they can keep it reasonable. I hope they can stay in the game against the Chiefs. And who knows? Maybe they get lucky as 11.5-point underdogs. Welcome back, Sports Saturday. Yours truly, Steve Zabin, back on the air here in D.C. I never left. I've lived here in the greater DMV out in Loudoun County since I last was on these airwaves. In early 2022 is when I think I finally said, you know what, I'm just going to concentrate on doing the show that I was doing for a station in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I've got a longer radio history than many people know, and I had an opportunity to do a morning show that was going great, and then, well, it ended suddenly, and we're just not going to talk about that. So I've been here, and I have kept an eye on all the local teams, and I have been excited by Jaden Daniels. I'm worried, though, obviously, like anyone would be, about the injury history. Now, the current injury, a low-grade hamstring injury or hamstring strain, it's one thing to have the medical people and the online Twitter doctors go, don't worry, it's not expected to be a lingering thing. Look, this guy's a Ferrari. Anytime the engine in a Ferrari starts making noise, you start to worry just a bit. And even though the only other injury he's had was that knee injury that kept him out a couple games early this year after the Packers game, you don't want these things to add up. He also had a rib injury his rookie year. Didn't miss any games, but he kind of powered through it. This kid is the best thing to happen to the franchise in a long time. And he needs to be protected. He needs to protect himself. Running is obviously a huge weapon with what he does. Nobody is saying he needs to be a pocket passer. Being judicious about how he runs, where he runs, why he runs, that's a different story. So, to catch up on many things, Commanders, I decided to go ahead and give my boy Kevin Sheehan a call. And I said, Uncle Sheehan, get me up to speed here as I'm going on the air on Saturday and going to be talking about the still beloved Burgundy and Gold. Joining me now is a guy I consider my slightly older brother, Kevin Sheehan of the Kevin Sheehan podcast. You hear him on Team 980 as well. Hello, my brother. It is good to talk to you as I get rebaptized into the Washington, D.C. sports radio environment.
Well, how it's good doing to have you back, Barely, little bro.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How excited I am to have you, you know, embrace the teams that you actually grew up with and really do love.
Well, yeah.
Let's see if we can find your way back to our,
let's do
our
it.
Favorite teams.
Let's together. Do it. And it's not like I haven't been following along and paying attention. As I've said here today, I've said, well, I just haven't been in the weeds every day. I haven't been fighting every single battle about free safety play and whether or not, you know, so-and-so top 15 pick in the NBA is ever going to be a decent star or a contributor. Those are the day-to-day battles that when you're on sports radio in a market, you are adjudicating like their life or death, right?
Yes, but, you know, some of that stuff when we really get into the weeds really tends to be a bit tedious.
It can be, yes.
So you're not missing much there. You Here's the benefit is that in your recent year away, you got to see our team anyway because it played late into January.
Yes. So, I also purchased the Sunday ticket at quite an exorbitant cost. You can no longer bang them for free Sunday ticket on the old DirecTV, as you know. Used to be if you spent an hour and kept saying, give me your supervisor, I'm canceling. Eventually, they'd say, okay, here, have Sunday ticket for free. Can't do that anymore. So I pay good money to see Commanders games when I'm otherwise not normally watching them. But anyway, state of affairs, Commanders good but nervous, I think, because of RG3. We'll get more into them in a second. Jaden Daniels, excuse me, a Freudian slip there. The Nationals, they're resetting their rebuild, which is going to be painful. The Wizards continue their long walk. The Capitals keep going. They won again last night. Ovi is amazing. And college basketball, the entire landscape of college basketball is so nuts, given the fact that, you know, the Terps made this great run and then the team vanished.
Right, and if you get good information, you can play some good unders on player prop bets, you know, in all of these sports.
Right, exactly. Okay, so let's get to the Commanders here, and I'll ask this question to start. Was last year's run to the NFC Championship game a blessing or a curse?
I think for the largesse of the fan base, maybe both, but for me, 100% blessing.
Sure.
I mean, are you kidding me? We had 24 years of misery. Zabe, the team hadn't won a playoff game in 19 years.
Playoffs?
And look, you know this. The NFL's so fickle. It's not even year to year. It's week to week. Nothing's guaranteed, even when you have your franchise quarterback, which this franchise does. So, oh my God, it was a blessing. It was a wonderful run. There's something about winning road playoff games in January that's it's extra thrilling than winning them at home. And those wins over Tampa and Detroit are all-time memorable wins.
Yeah. Now, the curse of it, I suppose, if you want to go that far, would be you now have this wonderful thing that has been thrown into your lap, and it was way earlier than you expected in the Dan Quinn, Adam Peters regime. So what do you do with it? The offseason notion of, well, we're going to pretend like that didn't happen and we're going to stay the course and we've got to bend the trajectory of the team younger and we may take a step back, that really is hard to even do. And so they were stuck with do we just pretend like that was not real? They couldn't, could they?
No, I mean, they went for it. You know, they made a trade at the deadline last year for Marshawn Lattimore. They traded picks for Laremy Tunsil. They traded a pick for Deebo Samuel. They traded 8 picks for 3 players to take advantage of, you know, a quarterback on a rookie contract, which is a rare thing to feel like you know so soon that you've got the guy. And so they were definitely thinking about making this run on his rookie contract. And I think that was the right way to think. But the league, you know, will trick you, and injuries are a reality. You know, they impact games and they impact seasons. And right now, you know, the plethora of players that have been lost, you know, it's a big impact on their season right now. If they can get healthier, they need him back. They need their receivers back. Can they be what they were last year offensively? I think so. But the defense actually may be worse than it was last year. And it was pretty bad last year. So, you know, it's going to be one of those interesting years where you're looking at one of the more injured teams in the league. Are they able to kind of overcome it and somehow make something out of, you know, make chicken salad out of you know what and go have themselves a season? Or is it going to be one of those seasons we look back on and say, remember year 2, they were decimated and they ended up going 8-9? I don't know. That's still to be determined. But in terms of like the reaction to what they've done, I'm shocked at how many calls I get about Adam Peters isn't the guy, Dan Quinn. They should have waited for Ben Johnson, Jaden. You know, he's regressed. It's all of the PTSD Snyder stuff coming back. People expect the worst. And they just have not adapted to this freedom that they have after being, you know, institutionalized for a quarter century. So it's an interesting time, but tough way to start the season. But I feel good about the organization.
Yeah, I think you have to. The three bigger moves by Peters, all defensible, if not lauded at the time. Which one do you think will get second-guessed the most when it's all said and done? The Lattimore trade, the Debo acquisition, or paying Scary Terry when it was all said and done?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately they didn't pay Terry anywhere near what he wanted, which was smart. So it's the Lattimore trade. You know, I lauded it. I thought it was the right move. They were 7-2 at the time. You know, they had a chance to compete for the 2 seed, you know, last year. And they needed, you know, another corner. And he had time left on his contract. So I didn't hate the deal. But, you know, looking back, hindsight, he's not the same player. He's not even close to the same player. And there were indications that the injuries had taken something out of his career, you know, even when the trade was made, because he had been injured a lot in New Orleans and hadn't had a really good year in a few years. But he's clearly not the player he was, or Zabe, he's not the right fit for this place.
Right.
I'm not sure which is the right answer. I think it's the former, but that's the one that'll be second-guessed the most.
On the Terry front, I see now where many people are blaming him for the bad juju, the bad mojo going into the season by the way of the holdout. And you're right. I guess it could be called a win by Peters and the team because they didn't cave to the more outrageous salary demands. But do you buy into the juju or mojo aspect of that holdout putting a bit of a hex on the season?
This is one of those things, had you been here, you know, in the off season, every day it was being...
Oh,
you know,
I heard it. I drove around town listening to it from all you guys, and I was fascinated by it.
So I think it was incredibly polarizing in the moment, and I think it's still polarizing. My view is that Terry and his agent needed to get real about what he was worth, especially entering his age 30 season. And they didn't do it soon enough. And it would have been much better had they come to the realization that he's not Justin Jefferson. He's not Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
He's not even DK Metcalf. He's not an elite receiver. He's a very good receiver, don't get me wrong. And he's much needed on this roster. But the team was not going – they were stunned by the ask.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anywhere near what they were looking to do. And Zabe, they didn't have to do anything. He had a year left on his contract.
Well,
the reason they did go to him and say, we want to give you an extension, is because they did like him and they did want him and they did appreciate him. But it got sideways when he and his agent, probably more so his agent, thought he was worth elite level money.
Had they done nothing, do you think he would have flushed paychecks to try to carry this holdout into the season?
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part, right? Like, it's like if they didn't do anything, he was still going to look for a contract extension and it could have ended in a holdout. The people that think they could have traded him, nobody in the league would have ever given him what he was asking for. So he was an untradeable player, but I don't think the team ever considered it. They wanted him to play for them. They wanted him. He's part of the, you know, we've got a quarterback on a rookie deal. We can go try to win the whole thing in the next 2 years. And they wanted him to be a part of it. Look, the deal he ended up signing, $45 million guaranteed. He was never going to get that from any team next year in free agency.
Right.
And he's got the opportunity to earn more if he turns out to be the player he thinks he is and can be into his early to mid 30s. So, but the hex part, I'm not into hexes, but with that said, there's no doubt that the missed time didn't help. And then a lot of people predicted soft tissue injury coming when guys report to camp, you know, or hold out for a whole summer.
Yeah, and it's been the soft tissue injury from hell right now. Let's hope he plays on Monday night, where, by the way, the line is sagged down to just 11.5.
I saw this morning.
Yes, so the Chiefs are on sale, 10% off on what was the 12.5 of major lumber you would have to lay for Mahomes against Marcus Mariota. Kevin Sheehan joining us here on Sports Saturday. So is this defense a major remodel or is it a full teardown at this point?
Man, I think it's a major remodel, but ask me in 2 or 3 weeks. It might be a full teardown. Okay. I mean, this is the part that, you know, has, I think, most people concerned about what is actually possible this year. Can they actually salvage the season if they get healthy on offense and get Terry back and get Debo back and get Jaden back healthy and win some of these big, tough games coming up to get back into the mix? But can they, with a defense that literally is a sieve and also has been decimated by injuries? They've lost their top two defensive ends this year. Dorrance Armstrong, Zabe, was playing better than anybody on the defense. It's a devastating, brutal loss. And, you know, there's a lot of question as to whether or not the scheme and the play calling and, you know, it's Joe Witt Jr. or is it the secondary coach or is it the personnel? I've been told multiple times over the last month, it's everything. And there's no solution here. It's not like they've got people to bring in and put in that are going to be able to get it done. It's going to be one of those things where you're going to need, you know, the other team to kind of throw up on themselves a couple of times a game to get some results defensively, or you're going to have to be into what you were last year, which is outscoring everybody.
Yeah. In terms of contractors, if you're saying it's a teardown or a major remodel, you look for the studs in the walls that you can then rebuild around. And I'm just looking at the Our Lads depth chart here. Where are the studs on defense that you could theoretically put some new drywall up around?
There's Frankie Louvu is a really good player.
Okay. Louvu, I mean, is Amos your second rounder at corner considered?
No doubt. Amos looks like a player. Louvu's a player. This is where the disconnect's been, Zabe, a little bit, is that they're not all terrible players. I mean, Kinlaw's had a good year. Payne is obviously capable of being dominant when he puts his mind to it.
But he's in seven now. He'll be in year eight soon. So, you know, these guys, and then, of course, you know, Wagner and Miller, those guys are about to sunset in their NFL career. So it's a tough deal. A lot of resources will certainly have to be poured into that side of the ball going forward.
No doubt. Yeah, and they you know, drafted somebody in the second round. They added, you know, some size defensively. The Dietrich Wise loss was a big loss. Both defensive ends being out are big deals for this team because they don't have anybody. You know, they didn't sign Von Miller to play 45, 50 snaps a game. They didn't sign Preston Smith to do that. Yeah. So they're in trouble defensively, but Louvu's an excellent player. Kinlaw's been a surprise this year. And last year, we all thought that Mike Sanristil was going to turn into an excellent player. He's had a difficult season so far.
Yeah. All right. So just to close here, I did something that you often do, and that is I went hunting for wins on the remaining schedule. This is a savagely tough
scenario talk.
Well, not scenarios per se. That's your master spreadsheet of who has to lose and who has to win. We're a little early for that, but we'll be getting there soon. I just went hunting for wins because this is a savage stretch right now at Kansas City and then home to Seattle and Detroit in revenge mode. So I'm already sort of mentally flushing these three games, and I'm thinking
all three of them.
Well, they'll be underdogs in all three. No, without Daniels against Seattle,
they might be a short favorite against Seattle at home if Jaden's back.
If Jaden's back, okay, fair enough. They'll be a dog against the Lions. Right?
I think so, yeah.
I think so. Okay. Well, let's just say it's a tough stretch and they don't win any of these three. I'm hunting. I'm scrapping. I'm like, you need six of the final seven to climb to 9-8. I don't think 8-9 would get much in terms of a coupon for anything come January. And I'm starting to go, okay, where can I get these wins along the way? I almost think they got to flip one of these three coming up.
First of all, I don't think 9-8's getting you anything this year. In the NFC, it's just too loaded. I mean, last year, Green Bay was the 7th seed with an 11-6 record. So it's really the division. Here's the way I've looked at it. The next five, they got to get three of them and be 6-6 heading into December. And then they'll have a chance, I think, to compete for the division because they've got two games against Philly and one against Dallas left.
Right.
So that's the goal. They got to get three of the next five, get to 6-6. And then you go into those final five games in December with, you know, four division games and three of them against, you know, probably the top two teams in the division at that point. Who knows where Dallas will be?
And then they got to go to New York or Jersey, where they always play
easy.
They always play terrible up there. And they've got a quarterback now in Dart who looks like he might be something. So that'll be interesting.
And they got a great defense. Yeah, no, it's not going to be easy. It's but you know how this works. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. And we don't know what these teams will look like by the time they get there. But in the short term, KC, Seattle, Detroit in a row is brutal.
It's a tough one. Kevin, thank you for your time on this glorious fall Saturday. Back to your pumpkin patching. I know your kids are all grown and out of the house and out of the system, but you do it on your own just for fun this time of year.
You know what? Meet me there.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. True story. Once upon a time, when I was a young boy, we're talking 1976, I want to guess, give or take, went to a pumpkin patch out in Sterling, Virginia with my dad and my mom and my brother. And we got autographs from the following Washington Redskins: Chris Hamburger, Pat Fisher, and Hall of Famer Charlie Taylor at a literal pumpkin patch. I kid you not. To say that the sports world was very different back then, in which those players, star players on an NFL team, told somebody at the pumpkin patch who was offering them $500 or maybe not even that to show up and sign autographs. And they're like, yeah, I got nothing going on. Sure, I'll be out there. Got the autographs. I got photos, grainy old photos with the former Redskins there at the pumpkin patch. I doubt we'll be having that anywhere today, but I'm sure there's places to get autographs of your favorite players. Coming up on Sports Saturday, what is up with Herbie? I thought he was nice to everybody, but he definitely wasn't to this player on Thursday night. I'll talk about it next. You're listening to 106.7 The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell you 1,000 words or replace it. This can be like 3,000 words.
Yeah. You know, I understand. It's been obviously a rough night, and he hadn't had a lot of help. But to me, when you're the captain of the ship, you're the quarterback, you got to try to hold some of that emotion in. And I know he's frustrated.
And he's hurt.
But it's week 7. You know, there's a long way to go, and I think that some of that's just raw emotion.
Yeah, he's been in the Mixmaster tonight all night long.
That was Kirk Herbstreit on Thursday night as the Vikings and Carson Wentz got folded, spindled, and mutilated by Jimmy Hardpaw and the Chargers. I was stunned listening to that. And I, of course, went to Twitter or X to express my disagreement with perhaps some snark on top of it. After I was already sort of fed up with Herbie's lathering of this decision by the Vikings to baby J.J. McCarthy in this ankle injury, I'm like, can you just call it like it is, for God's sakes? Because that's what I expect from guys like Kirk Herbstreit and other analysts. Don't snow us. Don't pee on our you-know-what and tell us it's rain. We're a little bit smarter than you give us credit for, but we'll get into it right now. Welcome back, Sports Saturday. Zabe here sitting in, getting some extra innings. Doc Walker comes your way at 3 o'clock right here on 106.7 The Fan. Herbie is well-liked by just about everybody. I got nothing against him, personally. Someone said, what is this, personal with you and Herb Street? Because I was coming at him pretty good Thursday night. No, not at all. I don't even know the guy personally. I think he's fine. I think Herb Street is overexposed. I think he's on too many things. You hear him not just on Thursday night in the NFL and not just on their prime game every weekend on ESPN, but you hear him and see him on College Game Day, and he does multiple hits throughout the week on ESPN, including Pat McAfee. It's a lot of Herbie. He's also a nice guy who doesn't really want to ruffle feathers. But when the Vikings are sitting on a 22-year-old in McCarthy, who has had the world's most unprecedented seven-week high ankle sprain, a high ankle sprain which, by the way, didn't even knock him out of the game in week two, which he played. It was only announced after the game. He seemed to be running around just fine with this ankle sprain that turned into a seven-week and counting slow walk injury. The other sort of sources around the team and word that was coming out through back channels was, oh, he's not good. He's forget the ankle. He can't play right now in the NFL. He may never be able to play in the NFL. They may have drafted a complete and total bust. This might be the Vikings version of Trey Lance or someone like that. And so they don't want to break him by putting him back in, having him fail again miserably, having the team turn on him, you know. So they're hiding behind this ankle injury. But Herbie's not even calling a spade. He's not calling balls and strikes as he should to say, well, look, I hope I'm wrong, but right now it looks like they don't trust him to play. Because there's no way a high ankle sprain should take 7 weeks if he didn't even have surgery on the ankle. So I don't know what's going on. I may be wrong. I hope he figures it out. But right now, it doesn't seem like they have any confidence in putting him out there because Carson Wentz is not the answer. That's the other part of this. Carson Wentz, 32 years old, battered, bruised, increasingly less mobile than he was when he was a sensation for the Eagles and tormented the Redskins, for sure, before that knee blew up in L.A. And then he missed the greatest moment of what would have been his career, a Super Bowl, which was picked up by Big Nick Energy, Big Nick Foles. Carson Wentz probably shouldn't be in the league, but he's good enough. He knows how to run the quarterback position. He's a good backup. And he's a good backup if you subscribe to what former USA Today beat writer Larry Weissman once told me and Andy. He said, you know, he's a good backup as long as you don't have to play him. And Andy and I were like, what? Wait a minute. So why then is he a good back? No, he's a good backup. You just don't want to play him. And it took me a while to get my head around that point by Larry, which is there's some guys who, yes, can play quarterback in the NFL, can get you in and out of the huddle, can get a play call, get it off, get the snap count off. It's not a total disaster. But the longer you play that guy, that QB2 or that backup or really QB3, the more you're going to regret it. And so because of that, Carson Wentz probably shouldn't be in the league, but he's in the league because he can at least play a little bit. But he was getting completely decimated by the Chargers' defensive front because the Vikings had lost Darrisaw, their outstanding Pro Bowl left tackle, again, due to injury. They were in tatters. He's getting beat to And Herb Street, Mr. Nice Guy, is like, you can't do that. You can't show emotion. He was writhing in pain on his injured, non-throwing elbow that was braced up from wrist to shoulder. He's wincing in pain. He's limping off the field, and he just kind of splays himself out on the bench and looks skyward with some clearly moist tears in his eyes. And Kirk Herbstreit was the one to say, hey, man, you can't do that. You can't cry. You're the guy who had a funeral for your dog on television.
There's no crying in football.
Yeah. Of all the people to take this tough guy stance medal, Chris, I'm like, you, Herbie? I mean, Herbie cried on the air in the wake of the George Floyd death. And that's fine. I think a lot of people did, and rightfully so. But guess what? You suddenly are going to be now the tears police? You're going to be the body language cop? Like, what is up with that, of all things? Carson Wentz should not even be in there. Herbie said, you're the captain of the ship. No. He's not the captain of the ship. He was the stopgap 32-year-old guy who was in there because the 22-year-old is S-A-W-F-T, soft, and can't play. I was just gobsmacked by the whole thing. What, do you got something against Herb Street? No. I think there's too much of Herb Street out there. Seems like a nice guy. I don't even mind necessarily the dog act because I've now become a dog guy since we now own a dog in our family for the first time. And so I look at the dog and I'm like, oh, look at Peter. Look at that big, dumb golden retriever. Boy, he must shed a lot. Of course, Herbie gets to bring him along to all these otherwise, I'm sure, non-pet-friendly hotels. He's staying at like the Four Seasons everywhere he goes when traveling for ESPN. And he's, you know, playing catch with her, with Peter in the hallway of the Four Seasons. A big old slobbery, disgusting tennis ball. He's like, hey, look at this. And he's filming it for social media. I go, oh, so can anyone do this? Can I bring my dog to the Four Seasons? No. But Herbie can. I mean, they treat him royally. But the fact that he would go after Carson Wentz, that's a weird take right there. But the Vikings are screwed. The Vikings committed a huge unforced error at quarterback. They made a decision on Sam Darnold based on two games. He looked terrible in the playoff game they lost to the Rams. I get it. But you should never make a decision this big over two games. The feeling on Darnold was he's fully resurrected. He's shined up. He's the player that was drafted in the high first round out of USC that everyone thought he would be. That was for the first 13 games. Then he started to kind of level off, and then he had two really bad games end of the year. And they're like, oh, we can't do this. Plus, they were pot committed to McCarthy because they had drafted him and he had gotten hurt on a knee injury that also was one of these out of nowhere. He'd played the whole preseason game a year ago. And then on Monday, they're like, yeah, he's got a knee injury. What? How bad is it? Actually, he's out for the year. Wow. But they had all their eggs in this McCarthy basket, which was perhaps not wise. And then they made a judgment on Darnold because of two games. They had Danny Dimes in-house as a backup. Now, that one I give him a little bit more grace for because, hey, you don't really know if Daniel Jones would be fully rehabilitated as a quarterback and be ready to go doing what he's doing in Indy. By the way, it helps that he's got a great running game and great running back in Jonathan Taylor. But they had Danny Dimes as an option. They could have paid Darnold and said to McCarthy, well, you're just going to have to be a backup and learn. Sit on him for a second year in a row, which is not unprecedented. The Packers did that with Jordan Love. Hell, it'd be cheap to sit on McCarthy, but they said, no, we're fully committed. We want to burn the bridge, burn the boats. We're going with the kid. Now he's got an ankle injury or maybe can't play, and they're screwed. And Herbie, Mr. Dog Lover, is out there saying, hey, man, don't cry on the sidelines. Poor guy beat to hell Carson Wentz. Probably also knows that his as he was leaving the game, injured, in pain, that he had made his last NFL start, which is an emotional thing as well because these guys don't want to give up this career, this life that they have spent their whole life on. I mean, Carson Wentz is like Cap Rooney from Any Given Sunday. He's like the Dennis Quaid character, the old grizzled vet. Yeah, I'm just going to give it another shot here, slinging around the yard. But this is real life. Anyway,
I think he wanted to quit, though, and his wife was making him play, right? Wasn't that like the thing? Yeah. Like.
Might have been the case. Haven't watched the movie in a long time. Although Quaid said, he said it's the best football movie ever made. And boy, does that sound like a good show topic for next July. If I'm here next July. Then I'll be like, all right, best football movies, let's go. Dial it up. So, yeah, that's the NFL these days. If you don't have a quarterback, you are completely and utterly screwed. All right, let's take a break. 800-636-1067. Ted is on the line in Sterling. Sit tight, Ted, for a quick break. He wants to ask me, JD5 or Jordan Love, who would you take? That is a fascinating question. Love is a big showdown tomorrow night against Aaron Rodgers. Don't know if you've heard of that showdown coming up on Sunday Night Football, but I'll dig into his question next. You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I found the clip that Metal Chris was talking about from Any Given Sunday. I'll play it for you in just a second. Welcome back. Zabe here sitting in on a sports Saturday on 106.7 The Fan. Ted in Sterling, Virginia, thank you so much for holding through the break. Let's go ahead and dig into your quarterback question now. Good afternoon, Ted. How are you?
Hey, man. Before I get to the question, I just wanted to say how amazing it is to hear you again on the local airways, man. You've been very sorely missed.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I'm 37. I feel like the golden age of sports talk in D.C. was you and Andy and Galdi, and that year with Cooley. It's awesome.
Oh, Cooley. Boy, I got so many Cooley stories. If I'm ever stuck for things to talk about here, I will uncork some great Cooley classics. Miss that dummy.
Plethora.
All right, so J.D. 5, let me guess, just looking at your note on my call screener, J.D. 5 or Jordan Love, you're going to ask who would I take if I were an NFL team that could steal one of the two guys right now?
Exactly. It's hot take fodder. You know, I know you've been a Pack guy for a while. You're back in D.C. So, you know, Adam called you up. I would say this.
It would be tempting. I think most teams would take J.D. 5. I think the high end on spectacularness belongs to Jaden Daniels. I believe the steadiness, though, is certainly with Jordan Love. Jordan Love is a very underrated great quarterback because there's people out there that want to say, well, he hasn't won the big games and the big moments. Rex Ryan has been clowning on him on ESPN, saying, you know, in the big situations, he'll throw a pick. Well, when did he throw a pick? He threw a pick late in the Niner game when they advanced past the Cowboys 2 years ago. And he got overwhelmed last year in the first-round playoff exit to Philadelphia. They never had a shot to win that game. They weren't very good. And I'm like, what other games are you talking about, Rex, that Jordan Love's going to throw the pick? Right now, Jordan Love is at 69% and change, and he's 10 over 2 touchdowns to INTs, and he's yet to even start to get cooking with his rookie, Matthew Golden. So he's already performing at a very high level. It's just very unspectacular. That's all.
Yeah.
But hey, I love Jaden Daniels. I love him. I love him. I love him. He is so fun to watch. He is such a good passer. The Cincinnati game last year, Ted, where he dropped the dime in there to McLaurin. I literally jumped out of my chair at home going, oh, did you see that? And that's what you got. He is so much a better passer than the guy who keeps trying to compare himself to Jaden Daniels. And I'll just leave it at that. It's not even funny as a passer. Not just a thrower of the ball in accurate, tight windows, but just seeing the coverages and understanding where the ball belongs and where to go with it and the timing, the anticipation, and seeing throws and everything else. He's light years ahead of RG3.
No, 100%. And, I mean, part of my thing, do you think that would have been different if I asked you this question in January of last year? Because, I mean, he was just on such a heater.
I would.
But, I mean,
Love had a thermonuclear run 2 years ago from around mid-October to the end of the year. But even I knew that couldn't last. It was like the run that RG3 was on in his rookie campaign, where they were running those slants to Pierre Garçon that were unguarded. They were doing zone read mesh concept plays to 46, the running back,
Alfred Morris.
That had wide open holes because the league had yet to get their arms around the proper way to defend that play. And I remember at the time, I believe at one time, RG3's numbers were so nuclear, both passing and running himself. I said to Andy, I go, Andy, you know that he's at the speed of sound. He's at pretty much the speed of gravity. You can't go any faster than this. He can't get any better. And he's like, well, he's only a first-year player. He's bound to get better. And I go, but look at the numbers. Like, what they're doing right now is off the charts. Every now and then, quarterbacks get on runs in which they play off the charts, and you think it's only going to be up, up, and away from there, and there can be regressions. I mean, look at C.J. Stroud. Nobody knows what happened to C.J. Stroud from the rookie year to now, but he's not nearly as good. I certainly hope, and I don't think that regression is coming for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, two quick things. I don't remember we played the Vikings at RG3 year. The it's electrifying run, and then there's Larry a clip Michael, of yeah. Jarrett. Have Jared Allen sitting on the bench, and he's saying, I don't know where the ball is. I have no idea what's going on. Because the NFL had never seen it before. They had no idea how to react to it. But, again, Kevin said it from early on with Jaden, even his LSU tapes, like, this kid has got it. And I think we all think he does. And the last thing I'll say is last year, I kept saying, I will believe it 100% when I see him go through adversity, right? Because it's going to come. And some guys can battle through it and out on top, and sometimes it derails you. And I think he's the kind of guy who's going to come out on top. But anyways, that's why this year is so interesting. But anyways, again, Zabe, welcome. Great to hear you, man. It's great to hear
you. Ted, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-636-1067. Do I have time here, Metal Chris, for another call, or should take a break? All right, let's take a break. Do we all play the soundbite that you pulled and bleeped out the naughty, naughty words from Any Given Sunday about Cap Rooney? Who I compared Carson Wentz to. Great memory by you that this was the scene that Cap Rooney's like, I'm beat up, I'm out, I'm done. And his wife is like, the hell you are.
You're the goddamn quarterback for the Miami Sharks.
Everybody's been telling me what to do ever since college. This is not your decision, it is my decision.
I will not listen to this bull from you. I will not.
I can do this. Cindy, will you please call that nurse? This doesn't work. I'm a football player. They got to pump up the volume here.
His wife, played by the lovely and lithe Lauren Holly, if you remember her, that actress was big back about 20 years ago. Lauren Holly just hauls off and slaps him. You're the quarterback of the goddamn Miami Sharks, a team from Miami that wore all black uniforms at home by choice. One of the many irregularities of that film that made you go, okay, I like the actors. I like Lawrence Taylor as a cameo, but really? You didn't have any consultants say, maybe that's not going to be their color. Quick break. Back after this, you're listening to The Fan. Indiana laying the wood right now to UCLA, so UCLA's little resurgence the last couple of weeks is being tested right now. Is 28-3 last I checked. I got to update this good old CBS Sports app.
He's 35-3 now is what I'm seeing.
35-3, Lord have mercy. And Virginia is tied. Ooh, tied with Carolina right now at Chapel Bill. 10-10 at halftime. So we'll keep you up to date on scores as best we can. Let's get a couple more calls in real quick. Let's go to Mark in Largo, line 2. Can I punch him up? I can. Look at that. Hello, Mark. How you doing today?
What's up, man? It's great to hear your voice again, man. Long time.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine, June 1st, 1968. But don't tell nobody. Anyway, nobody understands that.
Nobody knows that. Okay, let's go.
Let me ask you something. If you were Washington, would you really get serious about going after Brian Thomas? Because that's all I'm hearing on
I saw Aston. That. You know what? Yeah. I got a really good Jaguars friend. And I went down to see the Jaguars play the Packers last year. And, of course, that was the year in which Brian Thomas was blowing up, despite the fact that Lawrence, you know, was done for the season halfway through. And they're like, if he's putting up these kind of numbers. But he starts the year, Thomas, dropping every pass in sight. And it was like weird. And so my Jags buddy, Spence, said, and I quote just this morning in a text, you can have him. So he's down on him. It doesn't make my boy right. It just means you can have him on Thomas. I don't get it. Well, he looked like one of the great young receivers in the league.
We've,
we've seen Joe Burrow got Ja'Marr Chase, and he played with him in college. We've seen what that does for Joe Burrow. If Washington could get Brian Thomas, and I think he would be the better of them between him and Malik Nabers, he would be the number one in waiting once Terry leaves. Now, I know that'll anger a lot of people, but you got to take care of Jake. I mean, he's got to have more weapons.
I agree. I'm a more weapons guy.
They need more weapons around. And I think, and this is going to shock a lot of people around here, what I'm about to say. I think Adam Peters is doing a great job. I just wish he would do a little more things better. A lot of people think I hate Adam Peters outside of Ian, who made that comment on Adam's show.
Yeah.
But I've kind of reborn from that fact that you can't just go crazy over little stuff. But they do need to decorate this kid with more talent around him. And they do need an athletic tight end. I think that would be a good move.
All right, fair enough.
I actually think they could win on Monday. They could shock the world. Look, Steve, we've been watching this team for close to 50 years, bro. Okay? Now, and we could have different ownership, different coaches, different anything. Anytime this team is favored like that, I mean, an underdog like they're underdog, for some strange reason, they could pull something out. And why not Monday? Shock the world.
Shock the world. Shock the world. You never know. That's why they play the games. 11.5 has been covered. 11.5 has been an outright winner in this league before. Will it be Monday night with a backup quarterback against Mahomes, who is absolutely dialed in right now? Yeah. Not so sure. Coming up, hour 3, I have a lot of catching up to do. What have I missed, and what do I think of this, that, and the other? Plus, Mark Packer, former ACC Network host, as well as SiriusXM, on the topsy-turvy state of college football and college sports in general in the NIL era. All that and more in hour 3. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.